How are you? We are delighted to be here. This is one of our favorite churches. I don't mean the building, I mean the people. So we love you and we thank God for you and pray the blessing and the success of God on all that you do. That's one of my favorite verses and songs. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. So last Sunday, I was in the Philippines, in the city of Rizal, about an hour's drive from Manila. Through an unusual set of circumstances, I was able to connect with a bishop in that city. And we had 226 pastors and leaders come to our How to Be a Better Preacher seminar. It was 32 degrees and 80% humidity. And I lost a lot of weight and put it on when I ate their rice and chicken. So there you go. That's actually not the seminar that was last week. This is the Philippines in January and doing a seminar on how to be a better preacher. And there are two aspects to it. Number one, information, and number two, impartation. So not only are we speaking and teaching them, but we're also praying for them and laying hands upon them and blessing them. That series had five seminars. About 700 people came to that, which was very encouraging. And that was one of the seminars. You can sort of see me in the middle in a blue shirt. And on the right in that picture is our grandson, Zachary. He went there, preached his first sermon, which was exciting. And then he spoke again at a youth meeting when they had a barbecue. And I learned something. Don't eat Filipino barbecue in the dark. They said, try this, Pastor. It's chicken. It was chicken, but not parts of the chicken that we usually eat. So Zachary came and said, Granddad, don't eat the chicken. So there you go. It was also there that I went to a school. And this is in the province of Pangasinan. About 85 kids in that school, a Christian school that survived COVID, because the director of the school told me that during COVID, more than 20 Christian schools had closed in that area because of COVID and had failed to reopen. But this school had survived. You may want to sponsor a child there for $25 a month. And it was while I was there, I met a lady. I met Bertha. This school had talked about establishing an agricultural program. The chairman of the school said to me, this is what he said with his hand outstretched. He said, we need to redeem some land. That's $10,000. We need to build four classrooms. That's $60,000. And we need to build three industrial units for small businesses. And that'll be another $20,000. Can you help me? Well, I did the calculations and I thought, I don't have $90,000 to give you. And I actually didn't like him saying, can you give me the money? Because God is our resource. And the moment anybody thinks, oh, well, somebody from Australia has all the money, I become their resource. So I wasn't impressed with that. But the director of the school said to me, Jeremy, I want to introduce you to Mary. So she took me behind the school where there was a pig pen, and there was Mary. I said, that is not Mary, that is Bertha. She looked at me, the pig looked at me, and I couldn't decide whether she wanted to eat me or whether she was expecting me to give food. But then the director of the school began to tell me, she said, if you can help us with buying 20 piglets, Then we will look after them in our pig pen and grow them and sell them, keep some for breeding. And she began to talk about the finance that could be raised. And I realized that the pigs could buy the land. Thank you for your response. And the pigs could build the classrooms. And, you know, the second, third generation, you know, I thought, wow, what an... And then I realized that Aussies would like to buy a piglet. I mean, the idea of... if a man is hungry, give him a fish. Only feeds him for a day. But if you give him a fishing net and you teach him how to fish, you will feed his family for the rest of their life. And I thought, well, I'm interested in this. So I said to the lady, her name is Jubilee, I said, okay, I'm going to go back to Australia and I'm going to tell some of my friends and we will try and buy some piglets for you. And so I think, oh, there it is. So the idea of Operation Bertha will redeem 3 hectares of land, build 4 new classrooms and complete 3 industrial units. And so on the something like the 10th of February, we were able to send them enough money to buy 20 piglets. This was the first batch of 12, and they weighed 10 kilos each. Pigs... You know what pigs do? They eat. And when they finish eating, they eat some more. And when they've eaten some more, what do? They eat some more. And so 100 days after we bought the piglets, this was about on the 22nd of April, the largest pig weighed 54 kilos. But then 3 weeks ago, they sold 5 of them and they weighed in excess of 90 kilos each. And they were sold at 3 times the price of what we'd paid for them. And I realized rather than just giving money in an endless process, we could actually help them set up a micro business, and the pigs will do what pigs do. Eat, get fat, have other pigs. And I thought that anybody excited about that. They have a ferocious appetite. We've been able to send $2,000 for their feed. Interesting feed. This feed, I shouldn't say this on the microphone. Their feed stops their poo from smelling. Isn't that interesting? And so special feed. So, there we go. So you may like to buy a pig. Thank you for your response to that. Maybe Grace City Church would like to buy a pig. Or maybe your family would like to buy a pig. And what you are doing is actually you are partnering with them, with our brothers and sisters in the Philippines, not to give them a handout that never ceases, but rather to give them a hand up so that together, you know, they can become self-supporting, self-sufficient. It really is an exciting program. Now, we have a very good friend in Singapore called William Ng, N-G. Am I saying that correctly? That they went to Bob Lum's church, Eternal Life Assembly, and William and Dorothy were our students when we were leading the college. And when he heard that I was going to the Philippines in January, he said, "You must contact Bishop Jonova." I thought, oh, yeah. But through an amazing set of circumstances, I connected with him, and he then invited me back last weekend. Because I didn't know him, I went for 4 days. Can you believe that? 4 days, flew in Friday, flew out Monday. Ask me why. I might not like the man. But I did like him. And through another set of circumstances, he arranged for 226 pastors to come to the seminar, and we had a wonderful, wonderful time. Unbeknown to me, in the seminar were 4 bishops. They said, come to my church and we will put on a seminar. So I'm going back in December for 4 seminars in Manila and 2 in Rizal and 1 in Tagigaraw, where we're expecting maybe 800 pastors and leaders to attend. How exciting is that? Yeah, thank you. It is. I went through an interesting experience last September. I'd been to Poland, where we have been involved in planting churches, 23 of them, and visited some of them and preached at seminars. Hello, Stuart. How are you? You should say to your husband, honey, buy a pig. He'd eat it. Okay. So when I got back from Poland, where you drive all day, preach at night, drive all day, preach at night, drive all day, preach at night, I was tired. And one of our partners in Adelaide is a Filipino lady. And I rang her up. I said, oh, you know, when I went to see her. And I said, you know, that it was a really exhausting time. I'm 74. I don't know how much I can. I don't know if I can do this again. She said, stop whinging, Pastor. Get out of bed, have a shower, and get on with life. Imagine somebody talking to a pastor like that. She didn't do it once. She did that like 4 or 5 times in 20 minutes. And I thought, I needed to hear that because while we've got breath, we're going to praise him. And while we've got energy, we're going to serve him. And a few weeks later, I was stirred in my spirit to establish some goals until I'm 80 years of age. And so I established 6 goals over the next 6 years. And one of them is to train 10,000 people in my how to be a better preacher. That is impossible. And when I thought, it is impossible and for me. But it's not impossible for God. And we began to think, and we were thinking, we actually need to go to new places for these seminars. And how will this happen? And then this guy in Singapore says, you know, contact this bishop, you know, through a set of circumstances. I meet the bishop. He invites me. 226 come, but there are 4 bishops, and they invite me to do it again in December. And I realized that if you aim at nothing, you will achieve it. But if you dare to do something that is impossible, God will open the doors and make the possible possible. Yes. I'm excited about that. Ask me what some of the other goals were.
What are some of the other goals?
I want to raise $1 million for missions. Is that a good goal? Yes. Let me tell you something. It's impossible for me. But it's possible with God. I mean, how many of you would like to be a millionaire when you die? Okay, there's some problems. You can't take it with you. But you can, when you invest in God's global program, you're investing in eternity. Well, ask me another goal.
What's the other goal?
One of them. I want to sell 60,000 of my books. Thank you for your exciting response. I actually want to write 12 new books over the next 6 years. And here's one of them. It's called Outlines 1. This is particularly for preachers and for Bible teachers and small group leaders. And this one is 775 sermon outlines from the Gospels. What an amazing thing. You're actually going to hear one of these sermons in a few minutes. So really neatly laid out. Everybody say, that's amazing, Jeremy. Let me tell you some exciting things. Some of you have, in years gone by, bought my book, Miracles. Anybody remember that? And it's being translated into Polish. And when I go to Poland in September to speak at their national conference, the book will be launched in Polish. Wow. That really is a wow. And then last July, I was speaking at the Bible College in Singapore. I think it's called ACTS, A-C-T-S, the Bible Theology Seminary in Singapore. And one of the students said, Jeremy, I would like to translate your books into Mandarin. And he did. And on the desk out there, they're upstairs, they're at the, okay. One of my books is now in Mandarin. Do you speak Mandarin?
A little.
A little. Okay. Well, that is exciting. Now I have written some more children's books. They are with the artist at the moment. So please have a look at the table and help to fulfill my dream of selling 60,000 books by the time I'm 80. But you should say, you look so young.
You look so young.
Oh, thank you. You look all right, too. So there you go. I was greeted this morning by, how long will you preach? Because there's a big game at 12 o'clock. So can you switch to the next series of thank you? Here we go. It's coming. There it is. I want to speak to you. Can I walk around? Because if I stand up there, I'll get lost. So I want to speak to you today about my favorite subject. Ask me what my favorite subject is. Missions. God's global plan. What's my favorite subject? Faith. Because faith is greater than fear and doubt and anxiety, depression. Those crippling things in Australian life, anxiety, fear, depression, are all conquered by faith. One of my favorite subjects is marriage. Marriage. How long have you been married? 47 years. Does he still love and honor and cherish you?
Always. Every day.
Always. Always. Out of 10, how many would you give him?
Give him 10.
10. Oh, Stu. He said, only 10? So I love talking about marriage and family and relationships. But my most favorite subject is Jesus. Why? Because he's wonderful. Because he is the divine Son of God. There are groups in Perth. They're not churches. They are just a group of people. They are called Jehovah Witnesses. And they have changed. They have rewritten the Bible. And every time it talks about Jesus as God, they use a small g for God. Well, I got some news for you. This is Great City Church, and we do not have a small Jesus. We do not have a little g God Jesus. We have a capital G God, because Jesus is the eternal, divine, unique Son of God. He's wonderful. Not only is he wonderful, his name is wonderful, and he does wonderful things. In fact, why don't you take a moment and raise your hand and say, Jesus, you are wonderful. Jesus, you are wonderful. Jesus, you are wonderful. I don't know how many words there are in Mandarin. I think there are about 60,000 English words. But all the words in every human language is not enough to describe how wonderful and how marvelous and how beautiful and how glorious and how magnificent Jesus is. Hey, I'm a Jesus preacher. Why be a Jesus preacher? Because if you lift up Jesus, he draws people to himself. There you go. Getting excited. Okay. So here is an incident from the life and ministry of Jesus. Here we go. This is Luke chapter 13 and verse 10. On a Sabbath, everybody say Sabbath. You might need to say, oh dear, because Jesus always challenged religious structures. New wine was always a threat to old wineskins. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues. That was a what we would call a church, a little town, little village with a little synagogue. And a woman was there who had been crippled. The word means powerless. She was unable to help herself. And she had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. Now, let me talk to you about men and sickness. Because when a man has a headache for 18 seconds, he's saying, where are the aspirin? When they've had a headache for 18 minutes, call the ambulance. You know, no, he's not like that. Oh, good, good. So I am. So this lady has been sick, not for minutes, hours, days. She's been sick for 18 years. That's 2008 ago, you know, 18 years ago. I think John Howard was still the Prime Minister of Australia. It's a long time ago. It's a lifetime, 18 years. And what was the problem? She had severe curvature of the spine. In other words, what it means is this, is that she is bent over at right angles. And all she could ever do was look down. That's what the devil does to you. He wants to break you, bend you, and cause you only ever look down. And Dr. Luke, who wrote this, look, he repeats himself. She was bent over and couldn't straighten up. What had happened is that the bones and the discs in her spine had fused together. And her spine was long, one long mass of bone, and it was impossible. And she is there, bent over. If she wanted to go somewhere, she would need someone to lead her like an animal. Can you picture that? Here she is, always looking down, bent over. And if she wants to go to the shop, somebody has to, you know, put a hand on her shoulder and lead her and guide her. She was bent over and couldn't straighten up at all. Now, here's an interesting way to read the Bible. I want you to look at that verse, and I can identify five things that Jesus did for this lady in those next two verses. Can you see them? So let's read it. When Jesus, he saw her. Now, actually, okay, he sees her. He sees her, and what does he do? He calls her, which means what? Where was she? If he's called her forward, she's on the back row. Why is she on the back row? Because nobody cares for her. Because nobody sees her. She has become an invisible woman because she's in a crowd, you couldn't see her, because she's bent over. And so for 18 years, she's been standing at the back, face down, and nobody could see her. But let me tell you that Jesus sees invisible people. You know, your outreach to the seniors, those people are invisible in our community. Did you hear what I said? Who sees? Who cares? Who knows? Jesus does. And so when your church holds outreaches, you're actually extending the love and the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ to invisible people. And so he sees her and he calls her forward. You've been hiding too long. You've been at the back too long. Hey, you need to come forward. So what's the third thing that Jesus does? Look at the verse and tell me. He what? He speaks to her. And what does he say? Woman, you are set free. Present tense. It means this. You are set free, never to be bound again. That's what Jesus does. You are free and you will remain free. Woman, you are set free from your weakness. What has dominated your life will dominate you no more. What has defined your life will define you no more. Lady, you are set free. What? Number four. What's the fourth thing that he does? He puts his... Now think about this. Then I'm the woman. Okay, so here I am bent over. Somebody would have had to have led me to the front. Here I am. All I can see is the feet of Jesus. But then he does... What does he do? He puts his... Where? I think he must have put his hand on her back. The point of her problem, the point of her sickness. He touches her where her need is the greatest. Oh, Jesus, touch me again. Yes. Lord, touch these people. Because every one of us come to church bringing stuff. Each one of us come weighed down, bent over by sickness or by worry or by anxiety or by whatever that the devil wants to put on our lives to cause us to always look down. But Jesus comes, he sees us, calls us, then he touches us. And look what it says. Then he put his hands on her and what? Couldn't hear you. They called for a wheelchair so she could sit in it. They said, we need a walking frame to help her walk. We're going to book her in for 6 weeks of physiotherapy. She will need some kind of rehabilitation program. What does it say? Immediately, in a moment of time, that's what God does. In a moment of time, what happens? She straightens up and she praises God. I think she got excited. I think she's going, whoa, whoa. And she's running up and down the aisles. Hallelujah. Hosanna. He's healed me. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. If God has a video library, we should watch this in heaven. And we should turn the volume up. Because we would hear two sounds. First of all, we would hear the sound of the bones being made whole. And you would hear as she starts to move, click, 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 snap, snap, pop, pop. You know, some people like to crack their knuckles, you know, which is an unpleasant thing to listen to. This lady's back had been fused for 18 years and, you know, bang, bang, whoa, pop, pop, pop. And then the noise of that is replaced by hallelujah. Do you remember on a Saturday night in our church in Toowoomba when we had an evangelist from Malaysia? His name was Ezekiel Chung. And you ever heard that name? And he was in our church, quite a healing evangelist. And there was a man, a young man, who had been saved about a year. He was unemployed. He was actually on sickness benefits. He was about 23, 24 years of age. He'd come to church because he fancied one of our girls. But he'd got saved, but he'd been injured in a car accident, and his back was badly damaged, and he would never work again. And he was sitting about where... You are sitting, back where you're sitting. And Ezekiel Chung just sort of raises his, young man, stand up. And as he raises his hands towards him, Steve, as the pastor's raised, Steve is now backing off like an invisible force is pushing. And then down on the floor, back, concrete floor, bang. He immediately jumps up and says, my back, my back. I checked my phone for the number of the insurance company. I thought, this is going to be a problem. You know, then he says, my back, my back. He's healed my back. And he ran around the church, maybe 5 minutes. My back, my back. He's healed my back. He's healed my back. That man is the pastor today. Went to Bible college, call of God. Sir, he's a pastor, never went back. That's the miracle working power of God. That's what happens when Jesus comes to your synagogue on a Sabbath. She starts to praise God. Oh, may Grace City Church be filled with the praises of God. While we've got breath, let's praise him. While we've got energy, let's serve him. she praises God. Indignant. The synagogue leader was indignant. Everybody say indignant. That's an English word that means what it sounds. Indignant. How dare you do this in my synagogue? How dare you do this on the Sabbath day? This man was angry and offended. How strange that some people don't like outreaches to old people's homes. That's not what we're called to do. It is what we're called to do. Don't let your religion blind you to the purposes of God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. The synagogue leader, look what it says. Who did he speak to? He doesn't speak to Jesus. He speaks to the people. And he says this. There are 6 days for work. So speaking to the woman, you should come and be healed on one of those days and not the Sabbath. This man was more interested in the law than the lady. He was more interested in maintaining the Sabbath than the miracle of salvation and healing. Religion blinds people's eyes and hardens people's hearts. I'm religious. I clean my teeth twice a day and I floss after every meal. I'm very religious. And that's pretty much what it is. But this man, indignant. Now look what it says. Who answers? No. Oh, the Lord. You know, you got Jesus and Christ mentioned, but when he replies, it is the Lord. Oh, synagogue leader, you have stirred up the jealousy of Jehovah. You're on dangerous ground. The Lord answered, you hypocrites. A hypocrite is an actor in a play. Now, let me find somebody my age. You look about my you're much younger, sorry. So there used to be a soap opera on the television in Australia called The Sullivans. Anybody remember the Dave Sullivan? I must be your age. So Dave Sullivan had a son who got sick, and they called the doctor, and a doctor came who in another TV show had been a detective, but now he's a doctor. Dave Sullivan got a letter from one of his fans. Dear Dave, don't trust the doctor. He's not a doctor. He's actually a detective. Well, he was neither a doctor nor he was a play actor. And Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, you are a play actor. Now, if on a Sabbath day, you've got an ox or a donkey. Remember the picture of the woman bent over, having to be led like an animal. On a Sabbath day, your ox or your donkey, you would take it from the store, lead it out, and give it water. Then, should not, there is a legal obligation that this woman, who is she? A daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her. The man had said, shouldn't you have come on a different day? And Jesus said, shouldn't this woman be set free? Well, when he said this, all the opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. Because he is wonderful, his name is wonderful, and he does wonderful things. Now, this woman had 5 problems. Are you ready? The first problem was the problem of sickness. She had this incurable, irreversible disease that had caused, you know, the bones in her back to fuse together. It was an impossible situation, and she had suffered from it for 18 years. We have already prayed this morning for sickness to be healed in our lives. Is that true? Maybe you face an impossibility. Well, let me encourage you today. Let Jesus touch your impossibility. Because when he touches your impossibility with his possibility, miracles happen. Put your hand over your heart. Lord, you know the impossible things we face, but you are the God of the impossible. And Lord, we pray that you will touch us this morning and that we will experience your miraculous power. The problem of sickness to us is not a problem to Jesus. The woman had a second problem, and that was 18 years she had been sick, the problem of time. I wonder if you remember when we used to sing a song called From the Rising of the Sun to the Going Down of the Same, the Lord's. We used to have actions to it, and all the congregation would go from the rising of the sun to the going down of. Now, the phrase, the rising of the sun, actually means every day is a new day. And when you bring Jesus into your life, every day is a new day. Some people live crippled by yesterday. Some people live burdened by the past, things that have happened, things that people have spoken over your life, and yesterday cripples you. But I got some wonderful news. Yesterday's gone, dear Jesus. It's history. It's gone. It's past. Because with Jesus, every day can be a new day. Hey, whatever problem you face, tomorrow morning the sun will rise. And as the sun rises, we're reminded that new every morning is his blessing and his mercy. God has blessings and mercy and grace for every day. And if you are trapped in time, I got some news for you. Every day is a new day. Amen. So you know what my doctor said to me? He said this. He said, you're 74. Go home and stop all this traveling around the world. Wow. That's what I thought too. I went home and got seriously depressed. And I thought, I'm not going to let that man, however kind he's trying to be, to actually dictate my life. I'm going to be the man that God has called me to be. And so, hey, every day's a brand new day. And while I've got breath, I'm going to praise him. And while I've got energy, I'm going to serve him. Because Monday, it's a new day. It's a new outpouring. Whatever the day brings, God has the grace for that day. With everything's new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things pass away. All things become new. Hallelujah. Problem with time? It's okay. From the rising of the sun, the beginning of the new day, God brings new things into our lives. The problem with the woman was also a problem of invisibility. What was the woman's name? Nobody knows. What was the name of the town where this occurred? Nobody knows. Was she married? Did she have children? We don't know. And who cares? Because for 18 years in the synagogue, she had stood at the back, bent over. Nobody, for 18 years, that synagogue leader had been blind to the woman's need. She was invisible. One of the curses in Australia is the curse of suicide. And people hide away. And that's what the devil does. He wants to cause you to withdraw from society. He wants you to hide away. And the devil will say, nobody knows, Nobody cares, nobody sees. But the church is on the earth to declare to invisible people that there is somebody who sees, and there is somebody who cares, and there is somebody who knows, and his name is Jesus. And he says to the invisible lady, hey, you need to come forward. I'm going to lift you. I'm going to release you. I'm going to heal you. Let Jesus call you forward. One of the things that I do is I help people being interviewed for credentials. I want you to look at the ceiling for a minute. Don't look at me. Excuse me. Did you look at the ceiling? You looked at me. Oh, dear. Excuse me. Thank you, dear. So, interviewing people for credentials for the ACC. So here is this guy. We're doing it on Zoom. And my son, who's sharing the interview with me, says to the guy, John, I think his name was, tell us how you got saved. He said, well, I was raised in a Christian family, and my dad took me to church every Sunday. He said, in my early teenage years, I was bullied at school. Well, that's a curse. Let me tell you that bullies are a curse in our society. And it crippled his life emotionally. And 16 years of age, he runs away. Goes to Adelaide. He was in a country area. And gets a job. Stays in touch with his family. And has these thoughts that he should finish his life. His dad says, you need to go to church. Every Saturday night, he would ring up his son and say, you need to go to church. Go to church tomorrow. So to quieten his dad, he went to church. He went to an ACC church, and the youth pastor said, oh, hello, my name's Fred, give me your phone number. I'll be in touch with you. So he got his phone number, and the young man never went back to the church, and the youth pastor never rang him. Maybe 2 months later, in a moment of absolute depression, he decides that he will end his life. And as he's walking into his bedroom, he says, God, I need you to help me. Within two seconds, his phone rings. It's the youth pastor. The youth pastor said, hey, I promised to ring you, and so here I am. How are you doing? And he said, I'm about to kill myself. The pastor said, I'm coming round. And obviously he didn't. God, he saved him, changed him, called him. He's a pastor today. Is that a good story? So when he told me this story, I said, how long was it between the moment you said, God help me, and the phone? He said, 2 seconds. I said, think about this. While the devil is saying to you, end your life, the Holy Spirit is saying to the youth pastor, you need to ring that guy you haven't rung for the last 2 months. Then the youth pastor has to find the number. You follow me on this. Then he has to ring the number. Would that take more or less than 2 seconds? It'll probably take 2 or 3 minutes. So before the kid has said, God help, God's already working. He's already working. He's already sending the answer. Hallelujah. And the tragedy about this is that today in the city of Perth, there are hundreds of people right now that the devil is whispering, finish your life, end your life. You've got nothing to live for. And God is not far from them. He is near them. And he loves them. And they may be invisible to society, but they are not invisible to God. Let's pray. Lift your hand to heaven. Lord, we bring the city of Perth to you. From Mandurah to Yanchep to the hills, And we are praying for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit, not just on the visible church, but on the invisible people in our nursing homes, in bedrooms where they are bound by depression and considering suicide. And we are praying, Holy Spirit, you're with them. Turn their hearts towards you, because if they call on the name of the Lord, they will be delivered. And we think of our own kids and grandkids that right now we think they are away from you, but they are never away from you because you are with them. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So don't despise your aged outreach. Now, oh, that's nothing. Okay, enough of that. All right. The fourth problem was the problem of control. Because for 18 years, a demonic spirit had controlled the woman. I don't have time to discuss, you know, does sickness come from the devil? Most sickness comes from a guy called Adam. I mean, Adam as in the first Adam. Because in the day you eat, you'll die. You'll start. The problem of sin and death enters the human race. And that's where sickness comes from. But on this occasion, never blame the devil for everything. But never blame the devil for nothing. Because there is a balance here. And the devil is using the sickness to control the woman. But whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I think it's in, is it 1 Peter? Maybe it says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he would destroy the power of the evil one. He came to set the prisoners free. And the good news is that his power today has not changed. Jesus can set you free. And if you're chained by depression, he can set you free. If you're chained by habits, Jesus can set you free. If you're chained by addictions, oh, woman, you are set free. Oh, let freedom ring. Let the liberty that Jesus brings fill our lives. Problem of control? It's okay. Jesus will set you free. But this story is actually about another issue. And that issue is the wrong covenant. The synagogue leader was living his life by the Mosaic covenant, the covenant of Moses. Sabbath day, rules, laws, da-da-da. Jesus didn't say, she is a daughter of Moses. She said, she's a daughter of Abraham. And the covenant with Abraham not only preceded Moses, but was greater than the covenant of Moses. What covenant is that, Jeremy? Well, you find it in Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3. We are going to read this together. And when I say read, I don't want you to mumble it. I want you to speak it out. Here we go. Are you ready? I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And all people will be blessed through you. I seriously believe that those blessings apply to Grace City Church. I believe that. God says, I'm going to make you a great nation. I will bless you. I'll make your name great. You can read that. I believe that this covenant includes you. So the Abraham's blessing over your life is, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you all those things. Oh, Jeremy, where is that in the Bible? Oh, thank you for asking. Galatians 3:29. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Oh, whoopee. So how can I raise $1 million for missions? It's okay. God says, I'm going to bless you. I'll bless you. Every need I will provide. Oh, okay. All right. You got to believe that. For the synagogue leader, he's living under Moses' covenant. It's inferior. So, the problem of the wrong covenant, the new covenant. You see, Jesus said, eat this bread, drink this cup, and you're doing this. This is the new covenant that has been made through my blood. And the truth is this, the new covenant is better than both Abraham and Moses' covenant. We are New Testament believers. Now, thank God for the Old Testament, but the old's gone. Oh, I preach regularly from the Old Testament only to point to the New Testament. And so, hey, we've got a... Why is the new covenant better? Because of a better sacrifice. The blood of Jesus Christ doesn't cover our sin. It cleanses our sin. The blood of Jesus Christ doesn't have to be sacrificed day after day after day. Morning sacrifice. Hey, his blood was shed once for all people and for all time. Hey, the blood of Jesus is better. Not only that, but we have a better high priest. I mean, Abraham died. By the way, he's in heaven right now. Did you know that? Jesus said, I am the God of Abraham. But Moses, dead, buried. Every Old Testament high priest lived, died. But our high priest lives forever. He died, rose again, never more to die. And what's he doing in heaven? What is Jesus doing in heaven? He ever lives to intercede for us. There has not been a day of your life when Jesus hasn't prayed for you and you. He's written your name on his hand. And he said, Aaron Tan, that's my boy. He's got your photo on his fridge. You know, he's got a big fridge. And we have a better high priest with better outcomes. So you, I think maybe once a month, you celebrate communion. Is that correct? So twice a month. Okay. Let me tell you what the new covenant brings. It brings salvation by grace. Okay. What's the name of your church? Grace. Didn't hear you. Grace. Whoever chose that name wanted us all to know that we are saved by grace. Not only are we saved by grace, we are justified through faith. Now, justified means several things. It means the removal of the penalty, but the imputation of righteousness. So at the cross, there is this divine transaction where all of my sin was placed on Christ, and then the righteousness of Christ was placed on me. We are righteous in him. That is good. That's a better covenant. Saved by grace, justified through faith, and we have peace with God. We have forgiveness full and free. And we are delivered from darkness. Now, what is the cost of a speeding ticket? $300. Okay. Because he knows. So, your friend told you. Okay. Now, the interesting thing about speeding tickets is you can use your credit card to pay for them. And if your credit card's linked to Qantas, you get frequent flyer points for speeding. So you go along and you've used your card, you've paid the debt. But it hasn't removed the guilt. You still feel bad about it. So in South Australia, we would go to Services SA. And you would say, look, here's the ticket, I have paid it, but it's not enough. Can I pay more? They would say, no, it's paid. And many Christians live under false guilt. and they think I've got to do more things. But it's paid. The debt is paid in full. Now, we do good things not to be saved, but because we are saved. Hey, this is the new covenant, salvation, justification, peace, forgiveness, deliverance. He's done it all. Daughter of Abraham, there's a better covenant. But it doesn't stop there, because the new covenant, read these things with me, the new covenant brings, come on, I can't hear you, health and healing, joy and peace, strength and power, answers to prayer, blessings of family and home, direction and purpose, and victory in everything. And here's this invisible woman and the synagogue leader. He thinks, you know, under the Moses covenant, we've got to maintain the purity of the synagogue. We've got to maintain the holiness of the Sabbath. And he's living under a broken covenant. And Jesus said, that lady is a daughter of Abraham. And I'm going to bring covenant blessings to you. And here we are 2,000 years later, sons and daughters of Jesus Christ, living under a better covenant where everything we need has been provided. Whoopee! Come on, get excited. Ask me why I'm wearing a coat. So I can take it off and wave it around my head. Hey, we're part of a better covenant. There's healing and health and joy and peace and strength and power and answers to prayer and blessing on my home and my family, direction and purpose and victory in everything. Hey, stop hiding on the back row. Stop looking down. Let Jesus lift you and love you and liberate you. And then you can shout his praise.
Amen.
Yes, amen. Hallelujah. There you go, Pastor, 41 minutes, I'm sorry. Jesus. Come on, speak his name.
Jesus.
Let him touch your impossibility. Let today be a new day. Let him call you forward, no more invisible. Shake off the inferiority when the devil says you're nobody and you're nothing. Because as far as the synagogue leader was concerned, that lady was nobody and she was nothing. She's a nobody person and she's living in a nowhere town. But not to Jesus. Let him call you forward. Let him set you free. And claim his covenant blessings. Why don't we stand together? Let me encourage you to put your hands in front of you, as if you were carrying something. You know, in an athletics competition, they're carrying the medals to present. And I want you to first of all say, Jesus. Jesus. And then I want you to say your name. Jesus, it's me, it's Jeremy. Speak it out. Touch my impossibility, Jesus. Let today be a new day for me. Deliver me from the invisibility of life. Call me forward, Lord. Set me free, Jesus. And I claim covenant blessings. Lord, I pray for my friends that are here today. They are more than daughters and sons of Abraham. They are heirs according to the promises of God. And so we thank you for salvation by grace. We thank you that we are justified. We have peace with God, forgiven, full, free, delivered. And I speak health and healing over you. Where there has been weakness and sickness, the new covenant declares health and healing over you. And where there has been sadness and discouragement, I speak joy and peace over you in the name of Jesus. Where there's been weakness, strength and power to you. And when the devil says God doesn't hear or answer your prayer, Lord, there is a high priest that ever lives to pray for us. Lord, we thank you for blessing on our home and our family. Blessing on our children and our children's children and our children's children's generation. Lord, to 1,000 generations, the Lord bless you. Thank you that you're leading and guiding our lives and you're bringing victory in everything. Amen. So, Lord, we bless Grace City Church. Come on, lift your hands, friends. Lift your hands to the Lord. We declare the blessing of God over Grace City Church. We're not under Moses' covenant, not under Abraham's even. We're under this new covenant. And we speak the blessing and the favor of God on Grace City Church, that the works of their hands and the direction of their feet will be blessed by you. Bless the Chinese-speaking service. Bless those people. Help them. Bless the kids' church, the youth ministry, men, women. Thank you for these musicians. Let your blessing rest upon us in the name of Jesus. Amen.